Sin had left a crimson.
All right, we're going to be talking about business success on Friday, and with a slightly different angle on Saturday. One of the topics we'll discuss is business inspiration. That's right. And I'm telling you, we're going to have three inspiring stories, three different people, three different cultures who know what it is to face some challenging times. Two of them who face some truly, truly tough times and were able to make a comeback like you wouldn't believe. Multimillionaires. And I mean from really, really difficult, bleak times, ladies and gentlemen, this Saturday. Be listening in. Business success Friday, and with a very different angle on Saturday, business inspiration. All right. Rich, rich, rich. It is not necessarily a bad thing. No, no, no. How people get their riches is an issue. But just the wealth in and of itself is not a bad thing. Many of us have a little cash to invest. We might buy a mutual fund. We might buy stock. If we don't spend the money on the latest technological gadget, the wealthy handle their extra cash a little differently. They often put their money in property or in art or other businesses and other investments that the rest of us only dream of owning. Going to share with you some of the specific things they do to help increase their wealth. Joshua Coleman, for example, came into some money when his family sold their Chicago-based telecom company for $400 million in 2004. After they made that sale, they didn't run out and buy something extravagant. Instead, they began seeking advice on ways to save their newfound riches and help them grow. So their quest sparked an idea for Joshua Coleman, now 27. In 2011, he launched Momentum Advanced Planning. That's a firm that connects people to tax, legal, and wealth experts. And if the business one day sells, he could see a big return, just like his family's first business. Some of you have heard me talk about that kind of situation before, where people will start up a business for the purpose of selling it. They're not wed to that business. It is not their baby, so to speak. They started that business for the purpose of increasing its value so that they could then sell it at a profit. Kind of like a lot of people do when they flip houses. There are people who flip businesses, whether they start the businesses from scratch, from the ground up, and then build them and sell them, or they buy existing businesses and sell them. Some people do the same thing with homes. They'll buy an existing home, let it increase in value, and sell it. Build from the ground up. Let its value increase, sell it. People do the same thing with businesses often. If you think that starting a business is an odd way to invest your money, you're probably not among the ultra wealthy. People who have at least $30 million in assets, and they're considered ultra high net worth, invest in stocks and bonds, but they also grow their money by buying companies and investing in unusual securities, like airline leasing funds. Coleman says it is called alpha risk, the kind of stuff where there can be a lot of upside. As for the downside, many of these investments are riskier than traditional investments, so there's a higher chance of losing a large chunk of change. Also, they're far less liquid than stocks, and it could take months or even years for the wealthy to get their money out of an investment. Of course, we know that one of the things that a lot of experts encourage us to think about is the long term anyway. And they really, really want us to stop being so short-term focused, long-term focused. Leave it there for 5 years or longer. Let it do what it's going to do. But even if you don't have millions to invest, you can learn a thing or two about how the rich reap their returns and maybe apply some of their lessons to our own portfolios. The wealthy have access to some investments that most people don't even know exist. For example, one of the things they mention are closed-end funds. That's a long-term investment where money is typically tied up for at least 5 years. These offer the very rich access to big returns and high yields. I mentioned aircraft leasing. That's a budding area of investment, according to Ian Marsh, who's CEO of asset management for London-based Fleming Family & Partners, a wealth management firm. His clients work with a company called Doric, which uses investor money to buy planes, which are leased to large airlines like Dubai-based Emirates Airlines. Investors will eventually cash out of the fund when the planes are sold, but they can make a 9% annual yield in the meantime just from the leases. The average yield on the Standard & Poor's S&P 500 is about 3%. And again, you're talking about an annual yield of 9%. Some closed-end funds require hundreds of thousands of dollars to buy in, but Doric's airline leasing funds have a more reasonable entry fee, according to Marsh. Its SkyCloud series of funds, which buy Airbus A380-800s and leases them to Emirates Airlines, have a minimum investment of $13,822 and a 5% one-time fee that's based on how much investors put in. Ultra high net worth investors in the UK and elsewhere are also buying up, you're going to be excited about this, farmland. As the global population grows, demand for food is going to increase, and those who own prime agricultural land could see good returns. Let's just hope that they're ethical in the way they handle their agricultural businesses, especially when it comes to supply and demand and the costs. It's natural for wealthy individuals, many of whom made their money owning companies, to buy into other businesses. Investors are definitely putting their money at risk. 50% of startup companies go bust. But a wealthy investor usually makes 20 times to 50 times their initial investment on one or two companies that do succeed. Rose usually puts between $50,000 and $100,000 in a company and said he's made millions off some of his investments. At the moment, it's difficult for the average investor to invest directly in a business unless they hand over some money to a friend or family member. But you may recall that new U.S. legislation that passed in 2012 that's designed to allow what they might call regular people to invest in startups. Law was passed a few years ago. Now see how it plays out. Kind of keep your eyes and ears open for opportunities to invest in businesses even when you're not rich. Who knows? It may help us get the kind of practice and develop the kind of skills needed to really bank when you are rich. Till next time.
These are the days of Ezekiel, the tribal